This Morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Allegations of presidential wiretapping. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, March 6th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Without evidence, President Trump is accusing the Obama administration of tapping his phone lines at the Trump Tower in New York City.
The White House today could release the latest version of its immigration policy with two big changes.
As the U.S. and South Korea conduct joint military exercises, North Korea today fired four test missiles.
And if the idea of booking a flight with miles is a turnoff because of the time involved, how about hiring a service to do it for you?
So they're mostly frequent flyer junkies who have kind of hung out their shingle as award experts, and typically you pay them $150 per person, sometimes discounted for multiple people on a trip, and you only pay if you use their suggestions.
Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney on new ways to book trips with your frequent flyer miles. He's here later in the hour. Well, quite the series of events over the weekend. President Trump issued a series of tweets on Saturday alleging that his Trump Tower in New York City had been wiretapped by former President Obama. The White House said the congressional intelligence committees should investigate and that it wouldn't comment further until that happened. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is Deputy White House Press Secretary.
Let's find out. Let's have an investigation. If they're going to investigate Russia ties, let's include this as part of it. And so that's what we're asking.
Minnesota Democratic Senator Al Franken told ABC's This Week that Mr. Trump's tweets are meant to be a distraction over his campaign's alleged ties to Russia.
The Trump campaign or his business associates, the whole world around Trump, did they collude with the Russians to attack our democracy? That is an enormous issue. That's something we need to get to the bottom of. We need a special prosecutor.
The FBI, which would likely handle any such wiretaps, didn't publicly comment on the tweets from the president. It instead asked officials at the Justice Department, which it's part of, to explain that no such wiretaps existed. North Korea launched four missiles earlier today. It happened at the same time that the U.S. and South Korea are conducting joint military exercises on the southern half of that peninsula. Also going on in the region, the opening of the annual National People's Congress in China. The missiles, not considered a threat to reach the U.S., were fired from a known launch site on North Korea's west coast, not far from the border with China. In a text to local reporters, South Korean military officials said they flew more than 600 miles across the country before splashing into the sea between Japan and the Korean Peninsula. Reaction from Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe through a translator.
North Korea fired four ballistic missiles today, which fell in our exclusive economic zone. Japan will collect and analyze information regarding this issue. We also lodged strong protest against North Korea.
The Washington Post says this follows a remarkable month in which North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un's regime tested a solid fuel rocket that it says is part of an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of hitting the U.S., and in which the regime is accused of assassinating the leader's half-brother. Well, President Trump is expected to deliver his latest version of an executive order tied to immigration today. Several key provisions of the original executive order were put on hold by an appellate court last month. The new version is expected to still ban travel from several specific nations, but unlike the original, it will reportedly leave Iraq off the list. The thinking is that including Iraq risks doing lasting harm to bilateral relations at a crucial moment in the war with ISIS. In another significant change, the new executive order is expected to apply only to future visa applicants from the listed countries, current visa holders, and legal permanent residents, also known as green card holders, would not be affected. The White House has said banning entry from these countries is necessary to prevent terrorist attacks in the U.S. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio.
Thanks for being with us. As President Trump rewrites the country's trade policy, the impact will be felt in places like Evansville, Indiana, where the likely winners and losers live side by side. New York Times reporter Trip Gabriel spent time with three brothers who have different takes on trade. Trip, what did you find?
Well, I went to Southwest Indiana, which is really a very manufacturing intensive part of the country, and also voted strongly for Donald Trump. And I was interested in how the impact of the new administration's trade policies, which were a major part of his campaign, were likely to play out in the lives of real Americans. And I did a lot of reporting, but I ended up focusing the story around three brothers. One who was last year was laid off by Alcoa because of competition from Chinese aluminum, cheaper aluminum. Another brother who works at Toyota, which has a significant manufacturing plant in southern Indiana. And a third brother who's an elementary school teacher. And all of them are, you know, affected or would be affected by, the international economy in different ways.
Wow. All right. So what are they saying about, potential changes here?
Well, it's a mix of issues. And, you know, this illustrates, Trump recently said nobody knew health care could be so complicated.
Right.
It turns out that, international trade and globalism and all the things that you might do to address the reasons that high-paying blue-collar jobs have greatly declined in the country and how one might bring them back are very complicated, and they're interconnected. So, you know, initially, Brandon Marshall said that he was laid off by Alcoa, and he favored protective tariffs that might protect industrial workers like himself from cheaper foreign merchandise. His brother works at Toyota. Now, the Toyota North America president has said that if we throw up tariffs on, let's say, the border, with Mexico, that's going to hurt all American manufacturing because so many of the parts that are in U.S.-made cars actually are imported. And so, there's a potential for layoffs at automakers in the United States if we have a very protective trade regime. The third brother, Jeremy, he has a professional job. He's a school teacher, but he also struggles, to hang on to his perch in the middle class. School teachers are not paid extremely well in Indiana these days, or anyplace else, I assume. And if protectionist trade policies are enacted, it would likely raise the cost of consumer goods. So a guy, like Jeremy, who's makes a little bit less actually than one of his brothers who works in the factory, would end up paying a lot more for the stuff that we all buy as American consumers.
Hmm. We're speaking with Trip Gabriel, reporter at the New York Times. He's written an interesting piece called For Three Indiana Brothers, America First Cuts Two Ways. I thought the example you gave about the measuring tape was interesting, right? The one brother said, oh, no, if that measuring tape can be had for $6, but it's made for $15 by Americans, I'll buy that. And then, well, the other one said, no, I'm all about the best deal. I'll take the cheap one from China. I don't care, right?
Yeah, no, I find that's true often, I covered the campaign, so I'd often go to Trump rallies, and there was a very strong, a lot of working men and women that, who supported Donald Trump, and you'd often hear that sentiment. I think that I look for the American-made product. I'd rather buy an American-made tape measure, even if it's more expensive. President Trump, in his recent speeches, including the one to Congress this week, talked about buy America and hire America, American. And, if we follow that, to its extreme, to its logical conclusion, we're going to end up paying more for the things we buy. And pretty quickly, I think, our kind of, our political or idealistic preferences to buy American are going to run up against the reality of how much money's in our wallet. And, you know, cheaper goods have a real allure.
Thanks, Trip. Trip Gabriel, New York Times reporter. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Ford and senior FBI officials have called the Justice Department and asked that it publicly reject President Trump's assertion that President Obama ordered the wiretapping of Trump's phones. The message to the Justice Department came from FBI Director James Comey, who disputed the claim because it falsely suggests the FBI broke the law. On Saturday, Trump issued a series of tweets accusing Obama of tapping his phones, a move White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders says needs to be investigated.
And it sounds like there's something that we should look into and verify.
Minnesota Senator Al Franken told ABC's This Week this is all a diversion tactic.
The president of the United States did not tap Donald Trump's phone. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's a distraction.
Trump made his claim in a series of tweets early Saturday. They capped a week in which the positive reaction to his address to Congress quickly evaporated amid the swirl of allegations and revelations about contacts between Trump aides and a Russian official. Top brass in the Marines are denouncing misbehavior by Marines online, including photographing and sharing photos of women recruits and veterans and making obscene comments about them. Hundreds of Marines are being investigated for using social media to solicit and share hundreds, possibly thousands, of naked pictures of women service members and veterans. A revised executive order temporarily barring the entry of people from certain Muslim-majority countries and halting the nation's refugee program is set to go to President Trump soon. A White House official says the plans to roll out the order are on track for today. The new order has been in the works since shortly after a federal court blocked Trump's initial effort. It was an experiment that didn't go over very well. The Knicks used their only home game this season against the Warriors to try something new, silence. The first half was played without music, video, or in-game entertainment, such as the Kiss Cam and the T-shirt Cannon. Golden State's Draymond Green called the atmosphere pathetic.
You advance things in the world to make it better. You don't go back to what was bad.
Warriors coach Steve Kerr said it felt like church. Madison Square Garden officials say the experiment allowed fans to experience the game in its purest form.
Why? What? I mean, given the way the Knicks are playing?
Well, that's why.
I mean, they might want to consider having a concert and show the Knicks game on the giant screen or
they
something.
They were praying.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state, unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices helped it become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan.
Thanks for being with us. If you have spring break plans coming up at the family, you may notice this. Travelers about to see a barrage of new hotel brands. One called Pendry is from Montage Hotel and Resorts. Hyatt recently launched Hyatt Centric. Hilton will soon have 28 properties of its new Canopy brand. More on what goes on to a new hotel brand from Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Peterson. Andrea, what's up here?
Consumers may have noticed that there are a flurry of new brands coming out. Hotel companies from Hyatt to Hilton to Marriott and others are just churning out new brand after new brand after new brand. And there's a couple reasons for this. Basically, you know, in many cities, the big hotel companies, they already have so many properties under their existing brands that they need to launch new ones to keep growing. I mean, it can be very confusing to people and not great for hotel owners, you know, if there's a Fairfield Inn on every corner. So, and also, there's hotel companies are saying that, you know, people's tastes have changed. And millennials are a growing market, so they want things like, you know, bigger, more hipper, more happening lobbies and restaurants, better technologies in rooms. So hotel companies are really launching these new brands to address those particular needs. There's also an interesting, I actually spent some time with Montage Hotels and Resorts. They're a Irvine, California-based company, and they are they have five very, very high-end, like kind of ultra-luxury hotels, and they're starting their first sort of spin-off brand called Pendry. And what they found was that they were being approached by hotel owners with opportunities to operate new Montage hotels, and they had to turn them down because, you know, they found that they need a rate north of $600 per night per room.
Whoa. Okay.
To sort of operate these hotels because, you know, they are in very prime locations. They have really big rooms, you know, a lot of, you know, many sort of employees to guest ratio. And so, you know, they were having to turn down a lot of deals. So this new brand, which is going to have average rates between $300 and $500, were basically so that company could grow. So it's basically growth and changing tastes are what's sort of driving this.
Got it. Is this a good time to be launching a new hotel brand?
You know, the hotel business is doing really well these days. You know, there's obviously during and immediately after the recession, I think times are pretty tough, but occupancy rates have really risen in the last 5 years, and also the average daily rate has jumped too. So yes, the hotel business is doing really well. And what a lot of some people might not know is that most hotel companies don't actually own their properties. Instead, they franchise the brand or operate the hotels for owners. So there's always this tension between, you know, giving consumers what they want, but also maintaining profits for owners. And that's also what's sort of driving this launch of new brands, is that they, you know, they might, that you know, hotel owners also want something kind of new and fresh.
Thanks, Andrea. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Peterson. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Are you looking for a great wine at a great price? The solution is Cameron Hughes Wines. He's got a fascinating story. Cameron Hughes has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all around the world, where he sources his wine and sells direct to you for much less than you'd pay under other labels. His wines deliver on price, value, and quality. Best price, best wine, quality guaranteed. The best part is Cam guarantees all his wines. If you're unhappy with any bottle you buy from him, he'll make it right. Now, Cameron Hughes doesn't typically offer discounts because his prices are so much less than retail, but he's offering our listeners a fantastic deal on your first order of three or more bottles. Free shipping on that order and a sommelier-grade corkscrew. Only if you go to chwine.com and use my code DEAL. The only way to get free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew, go to chwine.com. chwine.com. Shop for your wine. Enter my code DEAL at checkout. Don't wait. It's a limited time offer. This wine is fantastic. The deal is phenomenal. And I want you to go online and order it today. Again, chwine.com with the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Monday, March 6. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump says he was wiretapped by the Obama administration. North Korea test-fired missiles today. A private Facebook page hosted nude pictures of female Marines. Regular briefings from the State Department resumed today. Retirement communities trying to reduce 18,000 golf cart accidents. A startup in Spain is told it can't market something called blue wine. NHL bosses this week could clarify offsides. Florida Gulf Coast, Wichita State, Winthrop all make the big dance. And the charity officials making millions. That story in about 20 minutes. Cut wasteful spending, beef up defense. Sounds like a pretty simple formula, but Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman says as President Trump develops his first federal budget, he may be relying on a fallacy that has tripped up many budget reformers before him. Rick, what did you look at?
Well, Donald Trump, the president, says he wants to increase defense spending. His aides have said he wants to boost it by 10%, which would be about $54 billion per year. And he wants to cut most other budgets to come up with that money. So we looked at some of the other agencies, agencies he said he wants to cut or scale back. We've looked at the budgets for those agencies and said if you actually were to cut these budgets entirely and put the money toward defense, how much of one aircraft carrier would you be able to buy? Trump has said he wants to rebuild the Navy. That's his word, rebuild. An aircraft carrier is obviously a potent symbol of military spending. So we looked at how much of an aircraft carrier you could buy if you cut back or eliminated other government agencies.
All right. So what'd you look at specifically? I know you touched on a handful like the EPA or foreign aid, things like that.
Yep. So an aircraft carrier these days costs about $13 billion. So Trump has said he wants to scale back the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. If he killed the EPA entirely, he would have $8.2 billion per year to spend. That's the EPA's budget. So that would purchase about two-thirds of one aircraft carrier.
Right. Where else might money come from?
It's expensive. Aircraft carriers are expensive. Well, he says he wants to cut foreign aid, which comes out of the State Department budget. It's a little bit hard to say how much of the State Department's budget is foreign aid, but it might be about $18 or $20 billion. So if you cut all foreign aid, economic aid, security aid, and things like that, this goes to countries such as Israel, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, that you might save enough money to buy a carrier or maybe even a carrier and a half. And it is worth pointing out that, you know, you don't pay for an aircraft carrier all in 1 year.
Right, right.
So that you spread the costs out over time. But it's also worth adding that there's a lot of other stuff the Pentagon wants to buy besides aircraft carriers. You have to, for every aircraft carrier, you have to establish an entire aircraft carrier battle group, which includes lots of other ships. There are three other services that need equipment. Air Force fighter jets are extremely important. The Army always says we want more soldiers on the ground. That's expensive. So this, you know, this is our shorthand way of saying how much money can you find for these types of things if you actually go around cutting other stuff in the government's budget.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. He's written a clever piece called "To Test Trump's Budget, Try Our Aircraft Carrier Index." What other places did you look where there could be cuts to
sure.
kind of satisfy
well,
this?
We went to some of the we looked at some of the agencies that Trump has said he doesn't like and he wouldn't mind getting rid of completely. So Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Republicans don't like this agency. Its budget is about $600 million a year. That's million, not billion. That would only pay for about 4.6% of one aircraft carrier, a tiny portion. Corporation for Public Broadcasting, $450 million in federal funding. That's just 3.5% of the cost of one aircraft carrier. National Endowment for the Arts, another one Trump says he doesn't really care about. Their budget is only $150 million. That's just 1.2% of a carrier. And Planned Parenthood. Republicans always talk about cutting funding for Planned Parenthood. Now, they get state and local government funding as well. All told, that's about $550 million per year for Planned Parenthood. That's just 4.2% of an aircraft carrier.
And he has already said, right, he's not touching Social Security or Medicare, so there's no money coming from there.
Yeah, and that points to the real problem here, which is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and defense. Those four spending areas account for well over half of the entire federal budget. We have to pay interest on the debt. That's non-negotiable, too. That's, I think, about 6%. And when you really, if you keep all those things off the chopping block, you really don't have much money. There's really not much left.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman from New York. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Booking an airline ticket using frequent flyer miles has gotten so tricky that some savvy flyers are turning to professional help. For people who want good deals but are not willing to invest hours searching and scheming, you can now hire a pro. For a fee, of course. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney has a look at some of the services available. Scott, what have you found?
Well, booking trips with miles has gotten more and more complicated. There are actually more avenues to do it, more options, as airlines have increased the number of partnerships that they have. You can use your miles to book awards on those partner airlines. They're not always shown on your airline's website. It takes some hunting, and that's added to the complexity. There are more fees and rules. There are more people have credit card points that you can transfer into various airline programs, sometimes at different exchange rates. So it's all gotten more complicated, and with that have come some services that much like travel agents, they're frequent flyer experts who help you book stuff, and some do-it-yourself online tools that can help you sort of navigate the very complicated maze of frequent flyer awards.
Really? All right. So what are some of these services that can help you book with your miles?
So they're mostly frequent flyer junkies who have kind of hung out their shingle as award experts, and typically you pay them $150 per person, sometimes discounted for multiple people on a trip, and you only pay if you use their suggestions. So if you like the booking, the solution they come up with, then you pay them. Book Your Award has been around for a number of years, run by a guy named Gary Leff, who is a well-known frequent flyer expert, if you will. He's been chasing miles for 25 years. There's one called Points Pro. There's Mile Value, I Fly with Miles. Several different awards, several different services, and I think the real value is not only finding things that you might not otherwise find, but also advising you on when to use your miles, when to pay cash. Sometimes awards are a very poor value, and you're better off paying cash. And so if you want not to overspend with miles, just like we don't want to overpay with cash, then I think these folks provide good value for a lot of people.
Is it worth the fee of, say, $150?
Yeah, I think it can be. You know, the customers that I talked to, you know, and a guy who ended up with first-class tickets, you know, essentially all over Asia, Shanghai, Seoul, Dubai, Hong Kong, a fabulous trip, got it for about 700,000 American Airlines miles and American Express points. The fees involved came to about $1,000, but that's an itinerary on Middle East carriers, on Asian carriers, that he never would have found himself. And, you know, and what he said was, well, I just would have, you know, paid a whole lot more if he hadn't used the service. So in that case, $150 was well worth the savings that he had.
It does sound like it. Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at dell.com/radio. That's dell.com/radio.
It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump has turned to Congress for help finding evidence to support his unsubstantiated claim that former President Obama had Trump's phones tapped during the election. Obama's intelligence chief says no such action was ever carried out. Minnesota Senator Al Franken says Trump's claim is one more reason his campaign needs to be examined.
And it's beginning to look more and more like we certainly have to investigate this, that the Trump campaign was in league with them. And what do the Russians have on Donald Trump?
Republican leaders of Congress appeared willing to honor the president's request, but the move has potential risks for the president, especially if the House and Senate intelligence committees unearth damaging information about Trump, his aides, or his associates. Trump claimed in a series of tweets without evidence Saturday that his predecessor had tried to undermine him by tapping the phones at Trump Tower. North Korea fired four ballistic missiles into the water off its east coast this morning, the latest sign of Pyongyang's determination to push ahead with its missile program despite increasing pressure against it. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe reacted to the provocation, speaking through an interpreter.
The ballistic missiles fired this time clearly shows that North Korea has become a new kind of threat.
The projectiles flew about 620 miles. South Korean authorities are analyzing exactly what type of projectiles were fired. Alabama lawmakers will meet tomorrow to explore options for impeaching the state's governor. Audio recordings from 2014 purportedly revealed Governor Robert Bentley engaging in sexually explicit conversations with one of his former aides, leading lawmakers to explore impeachment. The chairman of the House Ethics Committee says the tapes have sparked a crisis of confidence that needs to be resolved. And Consumer Reports may soon start considering cybersecurity and privacy safeguards when scoring products. The influential group, which issues scores that rank products it reviews, says it's collaborating with several outside organizations to develop methodologies for studying how easily a product can be hacked and how well customer data is secured. Consumer Reports will gradually implement the new methodology, starting with test projects that evaluate small numbers of products.
See, that being very helpful.
Super, super helpful.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. You talk about sending a product back to the drawing board, right? Possibly.
Yeah, if it could get hacked.
Yeah. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. So being the head of a charity doesn't mean you work for peanuts. New numbers from the IRS show that about 2,700 people made at least $1 million at nonprofits in 2014. The Wall Street Journal found that the 2,700 figure is higher by a third since 2011. The biggest 2014 package went to Anthony Tersigni, president and chief executive of Ascension, one of the largest hospital operators. His compensation, $17.6 million. Other big earners, Hal Lindsey and his wife Jo Lynn, who operate Hal Lindsey Website Ministries, an evangelical group in Texas. The charity's revenue in 2014, $8 million, mostly from contributions. He got 2.2, his wife 1.8. That's roughly half the ministry's revenue. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan.